Or you just give me just a few moments. If you go to Galatians chapter number 5 in your Bibles, I know you were probably thinking we got out of a sermon this morning. Not so fast, right? We're still going to look at God's Word together, Galatians chapter number 5. And we're working through the fruits of the Spirit and understanding what these are and how we see them in our lives. I've made a point each and every week to help us to understand that these fruits are not natural to man, that we saw what fruits are natural to man, and that was in verse 16 through 21, the works of the flesh. What these fruits are basically, could be described as attributes of God and for who He is. And the way to walk according to these fruits is to walk according to His power as He works in us. In our own abilities, we will find that we will fail, even as a pastor, right? Pastor must walk according to the power of the Spirit of God. This morning we get to the second fruit in our list of verse number 22, and that is the word joy. The fruit of the Spirit, the Bible says, is love. Let's try that again. Turn to your neighbor, say, I love you. Doesn't that feel good? You don't have a neighbor. Someone needs to tell him you love him. Right there, right? We love each other. Love is of God, and everyone that loveth knoweth God, right? Because God is love. So a part of who God is love, and as we are filled with His Spirit, and as we are controlled by His Spirit, we begin to exhibit a characteristic of God to one another, which is love. This is what the Bible says in 1 John that Jeremiah read this morning, that all of us read together. The Bible says, no man has seen God, but they see God in us as we love one another. Now the second word. Now this is a scary word for Christian people, all right? It's the word J-O-Y. Joy. Because you know it is written in the Bible that Christian people are not to be joyful, right? It's written in the Bible that Christian people are to have frowns, that Christian people are to be upset, that Christian people are to not have any fun whatsoever, right? That's all Scripture. No, no, no. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love and it is joy. You know, there was a survey taken of Americans that found out that well over 70% of people said they desired to have joy. Not long after that survey was taken, marketing companies began to realize that if 70% of people want to be joyful, let's try to sell them joy. So I'm not a businessman. I've been a pastor almost all my life after I was graduated seminary. But the business world began to develop something called joy marketing. Joy marketing. They begin to market and sell joy, and they begin to try to equate their products with joy. Joy marketing is a term to describe campaigns that elicit a specific emotional response of joy. In other words, if you feel joy using this product. The concept using joy marketing as a tool for boosting sales has quickly gained strength following the surface of a research that was done. I'm sorry, I said over 70%. Research that was done that 93% of Americans were on a quest to experience more joy in their lives. So companies began to grab onto this to try to sell and market joy. ConAgra Foods, who is the maker of Ready Whip. If anything can bring joy, it's Ready Whip, right? Have you seen, you know, they have that can with the pressure in it, and you can just put it right in your mouth, and your mouth is full of Ready Whip. I mean, if that can't bring joy, I don't know what will. And so ConAgra Foods began to market Ready Whip as bringing joy to people's lives. The campaign asked people to talk about their most happy and joyful moments while using Ready Whip to sell joy. McDonald's quickly caught on to the idea of selling joy, and they began their own campaign. In Los Angeles, from what I read, they set up a swimming pool of iced coffee. True story. And began to have it noted how people felt when they immersed themselves in the iced coffee in order to have joy. And they labeled it, and you may remember this from McDonald's, "I'm loving it," was their slogan. That was their slogan. Why? It was all joy marketing. See, the world is trying to sell joy. The world is trying to tell you that joy can be found outside of God. The world is trying to tell us that joy can be bought, purchased, or experienced away from God. But the Bible says that true and lasting joy is a fruit of the Spirit, because God is the essence and the being of joy, and only in Him can true joy be found. This word for joy, kara, is used over 70 times in the New Testament. And true and lasting joy is used to signify or in relation to spiritual realities. Again, just trying to set the idea of what true joy is. What is joy? Oftentimes people, and you've probably heard this so many times, the joy and happiness go up are usually equated together. I don't think that they're as closely related as we think. Happiness goes up and down. I have been happy based upon circumstances, right? But circumstances change. Joanne and I, when we were in living in Florida, we had this great idea that we should drive through the entire night to Leadville, Colorado, and hike Mount Elbert, all within 24 hours, from sea level to 14,500 feet. That was not smart. We get out of the car, we sleep a few hours, we hiked up Mount Elbert, and I felt very happy when I got to the top of Mount Elbert until I sneezed and my lung collapsed. Sea level to the top of Mount Elbert in 2 days, not smart. Then it began to snow. We were living in Florida. We didn't know that the weather changed that quickly up on top of these mountains. And so we're up on top of Mount Elbert, and my chest is fluttering on my left side. I didn't know what it was. And then it starts to snow. We have shorts on. It's snowing up on top of the mountain. My happiness went to not so happy pretty quick, right? But see, joy is different. Joy can remain in spite of circumstances. Happiness goes up and down. You can be real happy. You get your favorite food, or you show up at a Chinese buffet and you're happier there. See how you feel when you walk out. You're not so happy anymore. You're miserable after being in there, right? And so happiness goes up and down. But joy is not dependent upon circumstances. You can actually go through difficult circumstances and still have the joy of the Lord, because true and lasting joy is something that's coming from God as you receive it from Him through the power of His Spirit. So joy is that deep down sense of well-being that abides in the heart. Joy is not an experience that comes from favorable circumstances. Joy is outside of circumstances. The true joy of God is honestly a gift to all believers. I forgot to finish my collapsed lung story. I go back to Pensacola, Florida, and I tell the doctor, my chest is vibrating. They say, oh, it must be your heart. They put a heart monitor on me. It's not your heart. They did this. They never did an x-ray. It wasn't until years later that I had a CT scan that the doctor said, you've had a collapsed lung. I said, I have? And they said, yes. I said, oh, that's what it was. I had a collapsed lung. It healed on its own. I never even had any surgery. It just healed on its own because the doctors didn't know what it was. But I've not done that quickly since. But true joy is a gift of God to all believers. Now, here's why. Listen to this. You've got to understand this. Joy is a part of God's nature. It's part of who He is. Joy is part of God's nature that He manifests in his children. That's why joy is a fruit of the Spirit, because it is coming from him. 1 Peter 1:8, let me show you a few verses on this. 1 Peter 1:8, and maybe you'll be surprised this morning to see all the things the Bible has to say about joy. Christians, if we are living under the control of the Spirit of God, we can have true and lasting joy in our lives. As I said, 93% of Americans said they wanted to have joy, but those same 93% of Americans are looking for joy in the wrong places. Joy is found in God. The Bible says this, whom having not seen, verse 8, in whom having not seen ye love, in whom though ye see not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy, look at this, joy unspeakable and full of glory. In other words, one author says it like this, no God, no joy. N-O, no God, N-O, no joy. And then the phrase continues, but no God, K-N-O-W, and no joy. Joy comes from God. No God is no joy. And you, if you know God, you have joy. Joy does not come from favorable human circumstances, but is sometimes greatest when circumstances are most painful and most desperate. Because joy, true and lasting joy, come from God. Go to John chapter 16. Excuse me, John chapter 16 in your Bibles and verse number 20. John 16 and verse number 20. The Bible says this, verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Your sorrow, he says, shall be turned into joy. Because God has the ability to turn even difficult situations into joy, the Bible tells us. And then he says in verse 22, and you know therefore have sorrow, and you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. I know there's some context of things going on with the disciples and in chapter number 16 and those things, but the Bible is telling us that if joy is coming from God, it can be true and it can be lasting. So the fruit of the Spirit is one of joy. Now let me tell you what's interesting about the joy we receive from God. Go to 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John 1 in your Bibles and verse number 4. Again, Christian, I challenge you this morning. Are you exhibiting joy in your life? Is your life, could you say it is characterized by joy? And I want to challenge you on this. If your life is not characterized by the joy of God, then that is an indication of an area where you have not yielded to that fruit being produced in our lives. Sometimes as Christians, I've been around Christians my whole life. My parents were missionaries. I've told you all those stories. And I'm going to be honest, sometimes Christians, careful, don't throw me out of here for this. Sometimes Christians are the most mean, hateful, rude people to be around. I was a waiter at Cracker Barrel in college. Do you know what day the staff hated the most? Sundays. The church people. The day the church people came in after church to eat, they all dreaded it. They didn't want to have the tables of the church people because the church people were rude and grumpy and tip terrible. That's what they said, right? Christian. What are we demonstrating to this world about our God when we act such ways? What are we demonstrating when we aren't showing the joy that God can produce in our hearts? A lot of times Christian people act just like the world. Our joy is up and down based upon what circumstance we're going through that day. If it's a good day, we're joyful. If it's a bad day, we're not. If we get a good report, we're joyful. If we get a bad report, we're not joyful. I'm telling you, through the power of God and the working of the Holy Spirit, you, through His Spirit, can have true and lasting joy. And so I got the talking. It didn't finish getting going where I was going. But 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 4, the Bible says this. The title, the beginning of 1 John 1, is talking about joy. And he says, "In these things write we unto you." This is why we're giving it to you. He says this, that your joy might be empty. Right? Amen. That's right. I want my joy empty. No, that your joy might be full. God has written these things unto you that your joy might be full. That has the idea of to the brim, as high as it can be, that your joy might be full. The Bible says that He's written these things unto us that our joy would be full, because true and lasting joy comes from God. Did you know being joyful? Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, I know I've got you going all over the place this morning, but there's a lot that the Bible says about this. Philippians 4, the Bible says this. Do you know how often we should be joyful? 50% of the time? 10% of the time? Well, verse 4 of chapter 4 of Philippians says this, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And then he says in verse number 5, and let your moderation be known unto all men. Let your moderation be known unto all men. So not only should we be joyful, but the Bible says that we should let our joy in God be known to all men. That's a demonstration of God and who He is. So as Christian people, the Bible says we rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And then let your moderation be known to all men. And then he says in verse 1 of chapter 3 of Philippians, he says this, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. That's on the church sign, if you noticed. Rejoice in the Lord. We're rejoicing. We have joy in Him. That's the only place to have true and lasting joy. Joy comes through reliance upon God. I'll tell you another personal story. Sometimes I get caught up in telling stories, but it helps explain some things. My dad was an Awana missionary to the Navajo Indians, but it wasn't always that way. We lived in West Palm Beach, Florida. I was born in Gallup, New Mexico, but my parents got very sick and I got very sick, and so we moved back to West Palm Beach, Florida, where my dad was an accountant for Rinker Material Company, the largest concrete company in South Florida. If you know anything about South Florida, they pour concrete, and they pour concrete for buildings to withstand hurricanes. Mr. Rinker was a very, very, very wealthy man, and he sold the company. And he asked my dad, who had worked for him for years, my grandfather worked for him, all my uncles worked for Rinker Material Concrete Company in West Palm Beach, Florida. And he said, Jack, would you come and be my personal accountant? Mr. Rinker was a multi-millionaire. He said, Jack, would you come and be my personal accountant? My dad would have made a lot of money working for Mr. Rinker. My dad looked at him and he said, Mr. Rinker, God's called me to the mission field. I can't become your accountant. And with that, not long after that, we moved to Window Rock, Arizona, San Benito, New Mexico, right in that area. And my dad became a missionary to the Navajo Indians. We lived in a single wide trailer my whole growing up years. And my dad told me one day, I can remember exactly where I was standing. I was walking through the yard, not a yard, a desert. You know what New Mexico's like. And my dad said this to me, and I've never forgotten it. He said, Josh, I have less than I've ever had in my life, but I've never had more joy. Now, why do you think that is? The world says joy is found in having and getting and doing these things. No, no, no. Joy is found in God. God produces joy. Do you not see why the world continues to search and search and search to find something that will bring contentment to them that can only be found in God? The fruit of the Spirit is joy. It's outside of circumstances because it comes from Him. It is a working of the heart that can be produced in spite of what you're going through. It can sustain you through sickness and difficulty and trials of your life. Look at the study Scripture and see how the men and women of God reacted when they were imprisoned. Oftentimes they sang. Why? Because their joy was not dependent upon where they were. It was coming from God. Have you ever gotten bad news of your health? I sure have. I have. And in spite of bad news, you can have joy through circumstances because it cannot be based upon what you're going through. I think too often Christians have bought the lie that joy can be bought and sold. But too often we believe that joy comes from things other than God. I'm just going to give you rapid fire verses and I'll be done for this morning. But listen to Psalm 16:11. I'm just going to read them to you quickly. Monty, he has this list, so he's ready back there, all right? Psalm 16, verse number 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Look at what he says. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures evermore. The Bible says, in God's presence, in God is fullness of joy. If the survey's right, 93% of you in here this morning are looking for joy. And joy is found in God and only Him. Psalms 48 and verse number 2, beautiful for situation. And then he says in verse number 2, the joy of the whole earth. Christ, God, is the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Joy of the whole earth. Christ is that. Matthew 2 in verse number 10. Merry Christmas to you. This is a Christmas verse. The Bible says, when they saw the star, when they saw the star, what was the response? When they saw what God was doing, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When they saw the star, the wise men, they were joyful knowing what God was doing. Luke 2:10 says this, and the angel said unto them, again, Merry Christmas, fear not. He says, behold, I bring you good tidings of great, say it with me, joy. See, God's the giver of joy. Even the coming of Christ is equated and connected to joy because He is the giver of joy. Acts 2:28 says this, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. 1 Peter 1:8, I already read that. When he talks about with joy unspeakable. And then one of my favorites, John 4 in verse number 14. He says this. Jesus says, but whosoever drinketh of the water I shall give him shall never thirst, he says. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. John 4:14. He's talking about this power of the Spirit of God as you drink of this water that Christ has offered, not physical water, but he's talking about knowing Christ and walking with Christ and having a relationship with God. He says, within you, there's this well of water that springs up unto everlasting life. He's talking about His working within you. Now I know that we've not spent much time this morning in Galatians 5. but maybe you've had a little bit of a survey of the Bible, and there's much more of joy. Verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Who's the only one that has true love according to 1 John? God. How do we have true love? From God. Verse, the second word here, joy. Who is the giver of joy? Who is the sustainer of joy? Who's the one that can give you joy even despite of circumstances? It is God. The Bible calls it joy unspeakable. It's a fruit of the Spirit. I think as Christian people, and I'm not saying that this is always a signifier of joy, but sometimes Christian people ought to put a smile on their face. Let's try this. joyful. You know, let me ask you, if the world saw what we had, would they want it? Right? You know, if the world saw the joy we have, would they want what we have? Christian, we can have joy. We can demonstrate joy in our hearts. And I'm going to explain a little more about exactly what joy is next week. But just to give us an idea, we understand that this comes from God. If you want to have joy, it goes back to that passage in John 15 where we are hooked to the vine and he is producing that joy in us. August 17th is Karis' birthday. I'll never forget her birthday because that was the day my phone rang and it was my cousin that called. He said, "Hey, Josh." I said, "Hey, Chris, how are you?" He said, "I'm good. How are you doing?" I said, "I'm fine. We're having a little birthday party for Karis. It's August 17th. He said, "Josh, I just got your ultrasound back that you had this afternoon." He said, "You have bilateral kidney cancer. Both sides." He said, "But don't worry, Josh. It's probably nothing. It's probably just something that has shown up. It's no big deal, but definitely something we need to evaluate." And that sent me on a two-year journey of figuring out that I had bilateral kidney cancer. I still have to get tested for it. Brought me to National Institute of Health about a year and a half later, where I had a 14-hour surgery to remove 7 tumors from my left kidney. You say, "What in the world? You're a young man." I know. I said the same thing. How do you have that? But I can tell you something. In the spite of all that I went through, and I'm doing fine now, in spite of all I went through, I can tell you one thing. God gave me joy through it all. God is a God above circumstances. God is a God above difficulties and trials. Too often we have believed the lie as Christians that joy is only dependent upon circumstances. Joy is dependent upon our relationship with our Creator. Do you have joy in your life today? Would you say your life is characterized by joy? Or would you say your days are filled with unhappiness and discontent, and on and on? If your life is signified by that or characterized by that, it's an indication. And again, I don't mean to be so bold, but sometimes we need to hear this as Christians. I'm not going to say it might be an indication. It is an indication that that is an area that you've not surrendered to the Holy Spirit. It's an area, because the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is, say it, is joy. So if we have no joy, then that's an indication that that's an area we've not surrendered for the Spirit to produce His joy. The fruit of the Spirit is, let's say in both that we've studied, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Let's try that again. Ready? The fruit of the Spirit is? The fruit of the Spirit is? Are we demonstrating those fruits in our lives? Let's bow our heads together this morning. Let's just talk to the Lord as Bethany and Joanna come for just a moment. And again, this is between you and the Lord. I don't know everyone's situation. I don't know what everybody's going through. But between you and the Lord, how's your joy? Do you see joy in your life? Are you still looking? Are you still searching? Only relationship with God can bring joy. And only the Spirit of God can truly produce joy in our lives. Take a moment this morning. Just talk to the Lord. Lord, I just got no joy. I'm up and down every day. Lord, help me through your power to have joy from you. How's your joy? Are you allowing the Spirit to produce His joy in your heart? I'm going to make you do this every Sunday. Now turn to your neighbor and say, let's be joyful. And now turn to him and say, I still love you after telling me to be joyful, right? Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. Help us to be Christians that demonstrate love and joy. But remind us every day that it doesn't come from Ready Whip or ConAgra, but it comes from you. You're the producer of joy. You're the giver of joy. And Lord, help us every day to live by your power that we would see you developed in our lives. Thank you for this wonderful family, for Megan and Corrigan and for their children. Thank you, Lord, for them. Use them in great ways. Thank you for this day. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name, amen.